It ain't in alignment with the idea of heaven. And I want to tell you something. I know exactly what heaven is. I know exactly what heaven is. I know what it looks like. Are y'all interested? I want to share it with you today. Because we got to get our heart in alignment with what heaven truly is. And I've seen it. It's eternity. Heaven is eternity. Heaven is eternity. Just let that sit in your thinker for just a minute. Heaven is eternity. And we're going to get into some stuff because I want to really get your mind off of these earthly things. And I want your thinking upward towards heaven. Or is it upward? I don't know. Let's find out. I mean, we can reason about what it looks like. We can reason about where it is. We can reason when it will come. But the truth is, it is eternity. And we need to be ready. And we need to be ready. Amen? You see, God is not bound by time. He created it, but He is not bound by it. We are for now, but there will be a day when we cast off this restraint called time. And we need to be prepared for eternity. Amen? We are created in His image, and the Bible says we are to have the mind of Christ. So what does that mean? What does that mean? What is the mind of Christ? It means we need to come in alignment with heaven. We need to be eternity-minded. And we're going to talk about that today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit give you ears to hear what He is saying today, and that it may change your perspective on some things about living here in this earth. You see, when we come in alignment with heaven and we become eternity-minded, issues no longer are issues, but opportunities. Situations are no longer situations. They are opportunities. Problems are no longer problems. They are opportunities. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that in just a minute. We're to live by faith, right? We're to let our light shine. Amen? As I attended Robert Goad's funeral, Bob's dad, just a little while ago, it reminded me of a quote I'd heard from C.S. Lewis. Everybody know who C.S. Lewis is? You kids probably know him. He wrote the books Chronicles of Narnia. So all those movies that have been coming out about Narnia. I just got to share this. When Caleb was younger, I don't know how old he was. Every time we'd ask him a question and like he didn't have an actual answer or didn't know the answer, he said, "We're going to Narnia." I don't know where that came from. "We're going to Narnia." Okay. Well, it must have meant something to him. C.S. Lewis, and it reminded me when I attended the funeral, Bob, and some stuff that you shared there at your dad's funeral. This was a quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "Has this world been so kind to you that you should leave with regret? There are better things ahead than any we leave behind. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." Let me read that last part again. And think about yourself. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world, in this earthly world, can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. How many have felt like that? How many have felt that you have a desire that there's just nothing in this world will satisfy it? You've tried with different things, whether it was a hobby, whether it was job related with your job, whether it was relationship related, whether it was other not so good stuff, alcohol, pornography, sex, whatever. You've tried to satisfy something within you and you just can't do it. Well, I'm here to tell you that the probable reason why is because you're not a citizen of this earth. You're a citizen of another place. You are a citizen of heaven, another world. Amen? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And let's dig down into this a little bit. Again, what is heaven? It is eternity. I want to get your thinking along the lines of eternity where it drops down into your heart and becomes a revelation to you. I'm getting there. I can't talk and flip at the same time. But then if you don't talk while you're flipping, there's that awkward silence, isn't it? Philippians chapter 3, and let me start in verse 18, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Philippians 3, verse 18 says this. I think I have a different version written down. Let me read it off my notes because I was going to read it out of the Amplified. I don't know what version this is. I'm sorry. Back in the back. Verse 18. It says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." You see, if you feel unsatisfied in this world, it's because you need to align yourself with eternity and what that means. We are not citizens of this earth. We are citizens of heaven. And that means something. That means something, and it's very important. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 14 says, "Yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life?" That's a question he poses. "You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air." We are here but for a little while. Our life here on this earth is just a puff of smoke. Just a puff of smoke. We built a fire couple weeks ago. We got a little fire pit out back, and I had a bunch of limbs, but they were all green, if y'all know what I'm talking about. We were just trying to burn those up. I threw one on, and this smoke just rose up. But you know what? I looked up in the air, and that smoke was gone. That's how our life is on this earth. It is but a puff, but a vapor, but a mist. So you say, why should we care about anything if our life is so short here? And we have an eternity in heaven. Why? Well, why not? Just drink, eat, be merry. Well, because he says that we are to occupy until Jesus returns. That means walk by faith here in this earth. We are to walk by faith. We are about to be about the Father's business. And when we are eternity minded, being about his business is easy. It's easy. It's easy to get focused on kingdom business. So what is that? What is kingdom business? Well, I believe two things, two main things
is souls.
I mean, he said that he sent his only begotten son. Right? He sent his only son to the world, for the world. So he's interested in souls. And the second thing I think he's interested in is abundant life while we're here. Though it may be a vapor, though it may be a short time, I believe he wants us to live an abundant life. Right? The enemy comes to do what? Steal, kill, destroy. Jesus came to what? Give us life and life more abundant. Abundant life. Now what we learned this morning in prayer class, and for all y'all that don't take advantage of this class, I'm telling you, it is a blessing. It doesn't, abundant life doesn't mean that everything's going to be rosy all the time. I mean, Paul knew something about this. He went through some stuff. You know, we read a passage that shared some of the things he went through, but he went through a lot more than that. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was bitten by a deadly snake. I mean, he went through some stuff. So the abundant life doesn't mean you're not going to have stuff. In fact, it says you're going to have trials. But it's your attitude towards those trials or in those trials. And it's the mind of eternity that says, there's another side. And I will get through this. I will get through this situation. This situation is temporary. So don't let that temporary situation steal your destiny by the way you react to it, your attitude towards it, by your confession in it. How many know when the rubber meets the road, you know, it's a real good gauge of where your spiritual maturity is of what comes out your mouth. And when you're in a dire situation, stressful, what comes out of your mouth? Is faith coming out of your mouth? Or is fear coming out of your mouth? Or is unbelief coming out of your mouth? I'm talking about situations. I'm not talking, you know. What is your confession? Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. But when you're eternity minded, when you have your thoughts, your mind, your heart is set on eternity, you understand eternity. It makes it easier to go through those things, to come out on the other side of them. Because your thoughts are high and lifted up. It says that his thoughts are higher. So we should attain to that. We should strive for that. Amen? Eternity minded. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Having our eyes turned upwards. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, and I'm going to read this out of the King James. I like the King James on this particular passage. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need all these things. Verse 33, and this is the key. And Kelvin, I was always amazed how the Holy Spirit just put stuff together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, we aren't to be anxious about anything. It's not saying that we're not going to go through some stuff or things aren't going to happen, but we ought not be anxious about it. We always need to have a due word in season to speak to those things. Amen. Amen? We ought not be anxious about anything. You cannot add anything to your life by worrying about it. Right? Me and Dad were talking just this weekend. My parents are in town, by the way. Y'all greet him afterwards. And I think he's getting tired of coming up here because he always has a project to do when he comes. There's always work to be done when he comes to the Hallinan house. We're putting a little porch over our side, I mean a roof over our side porch there by the kitchen. He's been helping me. But we were talking about a situation involving, you know, a family member and saying about, you know, talking about worrying about it and just encouraging. There's no reason to worry about you, especially stuff that's already happened you can't do anything about. Why in the world are you worrying about it? It's happened. You can't change it. You can't do anything about it. You can't go back. So worrying about it, all it does is just create this ugly mess of stress inside of you. It's not helping the person you're worrying about either. And it's certainly affecting you in a negative way. Worrying does no good. Don't worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Speak to those things. Pray. But don't worry. Don't worry. All worrying does is take another day off your life. Day off your life. You got to confess that scripture. He has satisfied me with long life more. And if you continue to worry, you cannot add anything to your life by worrying about it. If we spend as much time, listen to this. If we spend as much time fellowshipping with God as you do about planning your next meal, I done lost some people right there. They got lunch on the mind already. And as soon as I said meal, y'all said, where am I going today? I wonder if that roast is cooking good in my oven. Huh? What's Cracker Barrel special today? I didn't hear that. That might have been a good thing. I don't know. But seriously, we put a lot of effort, we put a lot of time, we put a lot of thought, we put a lot of our energy into things that in eternity don't matter. And that, I'm not saying those things are bad, as long as you are giving the right amount of attention to eternal things. Amen? There's nothing wrong with those things. As long as you got them in order. In order. All that worrying about providing and accumulating things, it means you're trying to replace God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He is the provider. You are not, and understand this, you are not your provider. God is your provider. He is your provider. And when you focus on the things rather than the creator of those things, then you become your own God. You become your own God. You're looking to yourself to provide for your family. Well, how many hours do I need to work this week? Do I need to look for a new job? I got to make this much money to provide this style of living. You know, what do I need to do here? You are trying to be your own God. Because it says that God is our provider. And it says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all those things that you're worrying about, you're anxious over, they'll be added to you when you get the first things first. Amen? That's what verse 33 says, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all those things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I want to go back and I want to read this whole passage because I love it. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they are? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, the richest man ever known in the history of the world, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these little lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You see, we need to return to our first love. We need to return to Jesus, our first love. We need to get eternity minded. And that's all getting in alignment is. You know, we've been talking about that for months now. Getting in alignment in different areas of our life, whether it be with our assignment, our gift, our calling, getting in alignment with the Holy Spirit, listening to Him, getting in alignment with our mind with eternity, our thoughts on eternity. Okay? We got to break the shell of this earthly life. We got to break our thinking through the shell of that this is all there is. Because, I mean, if you think all this is all there is, of course you're going to be miserable. Right? If you think that this earth, life on this earth, is all there is, you are going to be miserable. And you are going to drown yourself in alcohol and all these other things because it is misery. There are trials. But we are citizens of another country. We are citizens of heaven, and we need to keep our eyes focused on that and our mind and our thoughts focused on that, casting down all these other things that come in to distract us and take us from that. And when we are eternity-minded, then it's easy to go and help our brother and sister in need. It's easy to speak into our life, into the lives around us. It's easy to walk through a trial. Oh, but Todd, you haven't been what I've been through. No, I haven't. But I've been through some stuff. And I'm still here. And I'm still preaching the uncompromised word of God. The devil has nothing on me. And he ain't got nothing on you either. As a child of God. That's what we're talking about. Getting in alignment. That's what it's all about. And I'm not saying you have to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Y'all have heard that before. Rather, so heavenly minded that you bring heaven to earth. Matthew 18:18 says this, truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Already forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven. I'm talking about bringing heaven to earth. Getting in alignment with heaven means understanding our authority in this earth. We're talking about righteousness this morning. Understanding our righteousness. Jesus bought and paid for your righteousness with His blood. But that word righteousness also means right way of living. Right way of doing things. So it's bought and paid for, but we got to walk it out. We got to live right on this earth. I mean, I believe in, well, I believe in the idea once saved, always saved. But when you say that, people use that to get themselves off the hook to live right on earth. And that's just not right. We're justified, but we need to be continually sanctified. Amen? We need to continually seek after righteousness, right way of living here on this earth. You need to speak to those storms that you come up to in your life. You know, when Jesus was in the boat, what was he doing? He was asleep. He was asleep in the middle of a storm, and it wasn't, you know, they call it a lake, but it's pretty big, and they say, and I've never been over there, but that the waves can get very big in that big lake. And these were experienced fishermen. They know the lake, right? I mean, they've been on the lake. They've understood. They've gone through these things, and they're all crying, you know. Oh, Jesus, don't you care about us? We're perishing. We're going to die. And they wake him up. What does he do? He speaks to the storm. And then he turns to him and said, oh, ye of little faith, you could have done the same thing. You could have spoke to the storm. We got to speak to the storms of our life. Jesus is not just talking about that physical storm there. He's talking about storms that come into your life that try to wreak havoc in your life. He wants you to speak to them. He wants you to speak to those storms and cause them to cease and desist. And you got to do it quickly. Listen, listen. Let me just put it this way. Is it easier to believe to be healed of a sniffle or full-blown pneumonia? I mean, once you get the sniffle, you got to cast it down immediately. Immediately. Don't let it get a foothold. Don't let it take root. I'm telling you, when I went through what I went through, the brain bleed, the headache came on, and I knew it was something different that I had ever experienced before. And they'll tell you, you can research it. It feels like the worst headache you've ever had in your life. Okay, that's how it starts. And I'm not building myself. I'm just giving you an example. It's a personal example. Immediately, I started speaking to that thing. Immediately. And I don't think it's by any consequence or that they said, you know, when they did all the testing and everything. And so what happens with a brain bleed, it's either a vessel, it's an aneurysm that bursts, or it's a weakened vessel that leaks. And you've heard my testimony. They couldn't find any evidence of anything. I'm convinced because I took that stand right away that that vessel was just sealed off. And it didn't go any further than that. And this is what I'm talking about. When the storm comes up, when the sickness arises, cast it down immediately. Speak to that thing immediately. Don't give it a chance in your life. When a relationship situation comes up, speak to it immediately. Don't sit there and play the what if game. Are y'all hearing me? Immediately speak to that storm. In this world, you know, he says we'll have troubles, but he says be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. He's overcome the world. Whether it's sickness in your life, command it. Peace be still, just like Jesus did. Peace be still. Body, be at peace. Be still. Speak to it immediately. If it's finances, you know, what are you speaking about your finances? This is information for every area of your life. Whether it's bodies, your body or relationship or finances or your job, it doesn't. You can apply this, these principles, being eternity minded to every area of your life. What do you do with your, do you go and hide it in the ground? I'm telling you, I'm going to stop coming to prayer class because they take all my stuff. Introduce it, and well, that's good. I mean, that's the Holy Spirit, man. I'm telling you. Do you go and hide your finances in the ground, or do you invest? Invest. And let me give you, listen, the best investment advice that I can give you, and I am an expert. Y'all believe that, don't you? And I ain't going to charge you nothing. It's free. The best investment advice I can give you about your finances is to invest in the kingdom.
Amen.
His word says give, and it'll be given unto you. Not just given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing shall men give into your bosom. When you give, when you invest, and investing in the kingdom. I mean, Kelvin was talking about the parable of the talents this morning. And if you've heard that parable, you're familiar with it, you know, the king went away, he left one servant with so many talents, 10 talents of gold. Okay, talents of gold is a weight of gold. Okay, it's a lot of money. It was gold. To the other servant, he left 5. To the other, it was 1, I think, right? The one with 10 doubled his talents when the king came back and presented it to him. The one with 5 doubled his talents. The king came back, he presented it. The one with 1 went and buried it in the ground. And what did the king say to the one that buried it in the ground? He said, man, first he called him wicked. You wicked servant. At least you should have put it in the bank and drawn some interest so I'd have some interest when I came back. But the interesting thing, I never really made this correlation before this morning, was that they all got, the two faithful servants got the same reward. And that reminded me of the parable where the workers were going out in the field. You know, one worker went out early in the morning. Workers went out early in the morning. Worked all day. Some came, I think, at midday. And then some or even one came right at the last hour of the day. But guess what? They all got paid the same amount. What is my point to this? When you see people investing in the kingdom, don't look to one person and say, wow, they're doing a lot. They're able to do a lot. I'm not able to do nothing like that. No, you be faithful with what God has given you. You be faithful with what He has given you. He portions to each differently. And I believe that is true in the financial realm as well. So don't judge others and what they do. You be responsible for what you have and what the Lord has given you. Let's talk about relationships, being eternity-minded with relationships. You know, just like if sickness comes and you got to speak to your body immediately, just cast it down. The same is with relationships. Forgiveness, I'm telling you, you've got to forgive fast and furious. Because if you don't, then that root of bitterness will take, it'll take root in you. That spirit of offense will grab a hold of that. And it'll blossom into some big ugly thing you don't want to deal with. So when offense comes, you need to forgive quickly, quickly, quickly. That's being eternity mind. Listen. Somebody does you wrong and you go and gossip about them and say all these things about it. They may be true. They may not be true. And you're speaking all these things about them. You know, the Word says that we're going to give account for every idle word that we speak. And that definition of idle is inoperative. It's every worthless word that we speak. And I got this, what if you're up there before the white throne of judgment and you're giving account for the things you've said in your life and that person's standing right beside you. You see, you think just because they don't hear it, it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. It has eternal consequences. So you just keep that picture in your mind. When you're speaking things out of your mouth, you act like that person standing right. Would you say that with them standing right beside you? You know, if you can't lift up and edify your brother, you ought not say anything at all. And I'm not talking about dealing with things that need to be talked about. I'm talking about that spirit of offense coming in, taking root, that bitterness developing inside of you. You got to cast it down immediately. You got to forgive quickly. You got to love freely and much. Amen? Being eternity-minded. Being eternity-minded. What is heaven? Heaven is eternity. And when we get our thought, you know, I mean, we all think of heaven as a place. I don't want to speak for you. Think of heaven as a place, right? We think of it as out there somewhere and, you know, there are people gathered there and, you know, I mean, the word talks about the dimensions of the walls and the size of the city but my goal this morning is to get your mind off of a place and think of it as eternity. And when we are spending eternity, this life on earth is but a vapor, a puff of smoke, here today and gone tomorrow. The word encourages us, don't give thought for tomorrow. Today has enough to deal with. You got enough to deal with today than to give thoughts for tomorrow. So we need to be eternity-minded. We need to get in alignment with the idea of heaven and that heaven is eternity. Life here is short, but Jesus bought and paid for an abundant life that he has freely given to you. So operate in it. Operate in it. Operate in it. We have a responsibility as the citizens of heaven. Our responsibility is to withhold the evil on this earth. And we can do that through how we live our lives. We can do that through our prayer. We can do that through our actions, our voice. You've been given a voice. And we're to use that voice in this earth. We're to use that voice to win souls. We're to use that voice to realize the abundant life in our own life. Amen? We're to use that voice to encourage others, to lift them up, to edify them, not to tear down, not to accuse. No. We are here for a purpose. You have a purpose. You are special to God in your unique way. And you're like no one else on this earth. You are like no one else on this earth. And God needs each one of us. Each one of us. You can't look at one person and see what they're doing for the kingdom and say, oh, I could never accomplish all of that. No, you have something unique inside of you. Just like I shared before, I mean, the word says that the most ignoble parts are the noblest in his mind. Amen? I hope you're encouraged today about thinking about heaven being eternity and thinking about how short our life is here on this earth and that we can have abundant life. We can have abundant life here on this earth. We can have it. That's what Jesus came and died for. Amen? We can have that. And we can walk through all the trials that come our way. We can be strong in them, knowing that eternity is just almost right there. Almost right there. We can do it. Amen? Well, I hope you're encouraged today. I hope you can take something with you today that will impact your life and the lives of others all week long, all month long, all year long, for the rest of your life here on this earth. And that's what we endeavor to do. When we come together as a body, we're called the body of Christ, right? We are the church, right? Somebody say, I am the church.
I am the church.
See, y'all are still awake. I love it. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are His ambassadors in this earth. So we have to be about our Father's business. We have to be doing what God has called us to do. And we have to be living the way He expects us to live. Amen? Well, Glory, I am so glad that we always have an opportunity to come. But as I say often, while you may get fed here, this is not the mainstay of your meals. You have to get God actively involved in your life through reading His Word, listening to His Word, praying. We have been talking about prayer for almost 2 years now. And I still believe that the body of Christ universally still does not understand their place in prayer almost. I believe that if we understand, and I believe that we as a body universally are catching on. I believe we are catching on. I believe we're building momentum. I believe we see some of that. We see these breakthroughs in areas, certain areas, here and there. But if we ever became unified as a body universally in prayer and in believing for what heaven on earth could look like, man, wow. Yeah, wow is the only word for it. And we see these little breakthroughs from time to time. And we say, yes. But man, I'm telling you, we should be seeing them every... we should be taking over, really. Because occupying means we need to be doing battle. You know? We need to be... And if we've taken an area, we need to defend that area. Right? If there's an area we need to go into and attack, we need to go into and attack it. And once we gain that ground, then we defend that ground. It's never passive, right? Even if you're defending ground, you're active. You're constantly on watch. You're constantly vigilant about what's happening. You're constantly checking for, I'm speaking naturally here and spiritually, but you're constantly checking for holes in your defense system. And fortifying those weak spots constantly. You never can rest. You think about what occupied means. I mean, think about World War II, occupied France. Germany was occupying France. Do you think Germany, once they got into France, they just sat down and said, "Woo, we're done"? No, no. I mean, they have to be on constant lookout. When you are occupying a territory, you are on constant lookout for attacks from the enemy, for holes in your defense systems. We need to do that spiritually, right? What area am I weak in? Am I weak in prayer? Am I weak in my faith, in believing for things? Am I, you know, weak in believing for physical healing? Am I, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got to constantly, what the Word says to judge ourselves. Right? We're to constantly look inside of ourselves and see, where am I weak and where do I need to fortify, refortify? Where do I need to get my mind renewed to in my faith walk so that my defense is tight and nothing can break through? And where do I need to attack? Okay, I need to go out in this. I need to go out here and win some souls. Where do I need to go on the offensive? I need to go out here and speak to this media that is just skewed in presenting the facts. We need to get involved. I'm telling you, the body of Christ needs to get involved in different areas. I mean, in schools. I mean, I told you, like, they told Young Life they can't come into the schools during lunch anymore. Well, what can we do? Can we go and give a defense of that? Why we should allow it? I mean, what is our role? I mean, we got to start stepping up. Body of Christ, we need to start stepping up and doing some things. We can't just rest on our laurels and say, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that's good enough for me. I don't know that it's good enough for God. He'll let you in. But he wants to see us doing more, right?
Amen.
He wants to see us active in our faith. So I hope that's encouraging to you today. Stir some stuff up inside of you. Get some things going, moving. You know, if you don't move them joints, they get stiff. You got to move them things. Them ligaments. We're all joined together. One body. And if you're trying to walk and this leg is stiff, well, it doesn't make it very easy to walk. If one part of the body of Christ is stiff because of lack of activity, well, it makes it harder for the rest of the body to move because we're all joined together. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all receive that today?
Yes.
Well, glory. Well, now it's time of offering. We're going to allow you to do something with those finances. Finances and place them into the kingdom for the kingdom use. And I just thank God that, and like I said before, you know, some are more blessed in other areas than others, but it doesn't mean that you cannot accomplish and get to certain other areas in life. But free advice, investment in the kingdom is one of the best investments you'll ever make. Not to leave the other undone, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all those other things will be added unto you. Amen. So with that, we'll receive the tithes and offerings today. And don't forget about our mission bowl up here. 100% of that money goes straight to missions and missionaries that we support. And I realize I need to give a report on all the different ministries and missionaries that we're supporting. Haven't done that in a while, so we'll probably need to go ahead and do that as well. Father, we thank you, and we don't take it lightly that people invest their finances into the kingdom of God. We thank God for those finances that they go forth into this earth to bring forth your kingdom, to bring heaven to earth, to touch lives, to minister to people. And as we send those funds out, they are accomplishing much in ministry in this earth, but it's for your glory, Lord. It is all for your glory, not man's, but God's. So, Father, I ask that you bless each and every person that has sown into your kingdom, that is invested into your kingdom, because they're investing in you. They're not investing into any man or man's structure. They are investing into kingdom, and your kingdom is made up of souls. So they are investing in lives, the lives of individuals. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.